following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right, good morning again, folks. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm really happy that you're here worshiping with us this morning. So we're a week into the Easter season now, having celebrated, obviously, last week, Easter Sunday. We celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, I say with great joy, He is risen. Nice, you didn't forget. Well done. So I have to say, last weekend for me was a really great weekend. I had the opportunity to go to actually three different Good Friday services, which is pretty rare for me, as you might imagine, to be able to go and just participate in worship other places, especially Sunday mornings. That doesn't happen hardly at all. And what was really neat was that all three of the services I was at on Friday were very different. And they were particularly impactful for very different reasons. The first service that I went to was kind of the Peninsula Pastors gathering. They put on a service every Good Friday at the thing with the water tower. That's what it is. Yeah, that wasn't a word that I thought I would have to write down in my notes, but clearly... Water Tower could not come to my head quickly enough. At the Water Tower by Softball City, and it's a bunch of different pastors and folks from different churches and from the community coming together to worship on Good Friday morning. And one of the things that I love about that service is that there is always either prayer or scripture that is read both in English but also in other languages, in Korean or in Mandarin. And it's just a really beautiful reminder of how diverse God's kingdom is, how wide God's grace is. It served to me as a reminder of this grace, of God's overwhelming, beautiful grace in a world full of diverse people who want relationship with Him. The second service was completely different, and it focused really specifically on the drama of the trial and of the cross, and particularly through film and through music. And so I watched scenes that led to Jesus' crucifixion. And alongside, the worship team also sang some songs. It was really cool and really powerful. And it was, again, a reminder of God's grace. Grace given freely to us through His Son, Jesus. And then at our own Good Friday service, the overwhelming message of God's grace really permeated all parts of our service. From the story written by Anne Lamott to the monologue from Judas, from Jesus' prayer through the deeply personal story of grace in Holly's own life, God's grace was evident through story and through bearing witness to all that He has done and is doing through our lives and the lives of those around us. And then, of course, we got to Easter morning, and we had there, the ultimate reminder of God's grace, the triumph of Jesus Christ over death, the resurrection. We are extended in that the grace of reassurance, even when we shouldn't need reassurance. Jesus extends His hands and shows His pierced side to His disciples so that they might believe fully in Him, and so they might have new life in Him. And we receive that same assurance, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He was crucified, He died for our sins, and He rose again 3 days later. Our Lord and our God. And in all of that, there's grace. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Let me pray for us this morning, and we'll dive into this idea of grace. O Lord, we continue to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus. God, I ask this morning that we hear your words, that you, God, speak to us, that you walk with us, that you reveal yourself to us. Lord, help us to embrace the grace granted to us and to embody and share that grace with those around us. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So over the last several weeks, kind of off and on, depending on what's going on in a given week, the youth have been watching a video series and then have had discussion following it called Challenge Accepted. And part of it was sort of some funny and fun aspects, some kind of silly like challenges. One is like a guy who he hates bananas, which I didn't know that was a thing, but he really cannot stand bananas. And so they gave him a banana and they put all sorts of gross stuff on it and, you know, tried to get him to eat it and he just couldn't do it. And, you know, so there's like that funny aspect to it. But it also is this really great reminder and encouragement of the challenge and then accepting the challenges that are placed in front of us in our own spiritual lives. And so without getting into all of the series, one particular one a couple weeks ago focused on an idea of picking out one word for the year. So having each of the kids pick out a word to try to live out or to try to live into, a word that really spoke to them, that they wanted to sort of make a goal for the year. It'd be kind of a defining and also motivating, convicting and encouraging word for them for the year. And so some examples were given, like truth and faith and prayer. And even some of the words chosen from some of our kids were things like courage and inspire and respect. And then the next step was for them to find Bible verses or a Bible verse to go along with that word. So they were being spoken to through the Word of God about this particular word and how it could impact them throughout the year. You know, and I have to admit, it was a really interesting practice. One that I'd encourage you all to at least think about. And if you want to, pick out your word and your verse and come share it with me, and then I get to ask you about it periodically, and we get to converse about this word that God is speaking to you in this year. I mean, maybe this is something you do, or you do something similar to it. But I think it's helpful in giving a sense of kind of boiling down all that the gospel encompasses to one specific thing to be working on. What's really cool is that without having had this discussion yet or seeing this talk, I had been becoming pretty darn aware of a word that God had been putting on my heart for this year, a word that he wanted me to dive into, that he wanted me to explore and unpack and share, a word that was convicting me in a number of different ways, a challenging word, and a word that encompasses God's great love. Grace. I think it's a little bit helpful to hear the how and the why of why this word kept coming up. And as simple as it seems, it's because just that, it kept coming up. Like it just was put in front of me so much that it became impossible to ignore. There's one week, and it was really just a couple of days within that week, that I had conversations with multiple folks from our own church family about grace, about how it was coming up in Bible studies or in small groups, how it was coming up in daily life. That same couple days, I listened to a podcast, and this was what the guest speaker in the podcast was talking about. I go, okay, well, maybe there's something there. And then on top of all of that, This has all happened while Erica was away at a retreat planning weekend for the women's retreat that's down in Yelm. And she got home and she said, well, we picked our theme for the women's retreat in September. And the theme of that retreat is Audacious Grace. Okay, God. And so it prompted us to have a long and really great conversation about both of those words, the word audacious and the word grace, and how in many ways they feel like they're polar opposites. But that is exactly what God's grace is. God's grace is audacious. And I'm not going to preach what Jill will do a phenomenal job of preaching at the women's retreat. I'm not even going to try. I'll let her do that and deal with audacious grace. But that, all of that together made it pretty hard to ignore that God was speaking to me about grace. And that God wanted me to learn more about grace. That God wanted me to share more about grace. And so we are. And you get to come along on that journey with me. So we've already been answering a little bit today, why grace? Why grace? But there's more to it than simply because God has been speaking to me about grace. Grace is one of the foundational pieces of the Christian faith. Grace is part of what makes Jesus and what makes followers of Jesus vastly different from the world around us. Or it should. And grace is something that we get to both live into and that we get to live out of. So we can find the word grace or some form of it 537 times in 502 verses in the Bible, starting all the way on one side in Genesis and making it all the way into the New Testament in Ephesians. 502 verses and 537 times. And there may be a couple of you, maybe more than that, I don't know, that are really hoping that I will sort through every single one of those 537 instances, giving historical background and context, making sure that the Hebrew and the Greek are clearly articulated and we know exactly what is going on with each of those instances. A couple of you, maybe. Okay. We can do that some other time. So I'll spare you that today, but I'm more than happy to talk through that. The reality is, though, there's no escaping the word grace in the Bible, which is pretty well perfect because there's no escaping the grace of God, period. It'd be helpful if we had some clear definition of grace because there's so many different ways that it's used, some that are quite similar to what we're talking about and others that are a bit different. So first of all, we're definitely not talking about grace in terms of elegance or kind of the matter of motion. You know, we're not talking about like a dancer who has grace. And we're not necessarily talking about grace notes, those little hard-to-read, kind of annoying little notes that are on a piece of music that add kind of little flourishes and little embellishments to the song. Though that's not to say that there isn't beauty and elegance and motion and flourishes in God's grace. We're not necessarily talking about the grace period that's offered in our family favorite card game, 31. It's a game of drawing and discarding cards, trying to get as close to the score 31 as possible. In the game, you have three lives, which we most often use dimes to represent, until we got a little bit older and realized that you can't do much with 30 cents, and then it became quarters, because once we were in high school, my brother and I were quite rich. So we went with quarters, especially when Peter got his way. So you lose a coin when you are the lowest, when you have the lowest hand for that round. And then once all three of those coins are gone, you still have one life left, which is a grace period. So that's not exactly it, but it's getting a little bit closer. Philip Yancey talks about grace being the last best word. He talks about it being a word that encompasses the depth and the breadth and the beauty of the gospel. And grace comes the closest to being able to do all of that. Jesus gives us all sorts of pictures and illustrations and parables about grace. In Jesus' own life, his death and his resurrection are the ultimate picture of grace. And so in the simplest terms, grace is receiving something that we don't deserve. which, when we relate that to the forgiveness of our sins and eternal salvation, may be the greatest understatement ever. Grace is receiving something we don't deserve, something we haven't earned. No wonder it's called amazing grace. So in each of the 4 weeks of this series, this week included, we'll focus on a handful of texts. So we won't get to all 537 of them, but we'll piece together some of the different texts and look at them and how we can get a fuller picture of what God's grace looks like. So today is kind of that introductory week, kind of laying some groundwork, getting us excited, certainly getting me excited about this series. Next week, we'll focus on the good news of grace. In 2 weeks, we'll spend time looking at what grace means to the world, that there is a world thirsty for grace. And then finally, on May 3rd, we'll look at being grace, embodying grace, living out the grace of God. So you've heard, you've seen up here one of the texts for today, quite short one, from 2 Timothy 2:1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we're spending time talking about grace because there is strength to be found in it. We're spending these weeks on grace so that each of us might be reminded of that strength, so that we might live into that strength that is offered through Jesus. Grace is an encouragement. Grace is foundational. Grace is a building block for our faith and for our life. Paul writes to Timothy here, helping to build up a new young leader. And his first words aren't follow these rules or obey these specific instructions. But Paul spends the first chapter of this second letter talking about God, about the grace of God, about the love of God, about Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus' love, and the power that is to be found there. And then Paul continues with that encouragement just before getting into some more instruction by reminding Paul to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to be confident in that, for him to find his strength there, not elsewhere. Over the past couple weeks, I've been part of evaluation contests for Toastmasters, a club that I'm a part of. The idea is there's one test speaker that goes up and gives a 5 to 7 minute speech, and then all of us who are competing evaluators, we write down our notes, and then we go out of the room, and then one by one we come back in and we offer our evaluation. You know, what was good, what needs to work again, or what needs to be worked on, and what, you know, again, what was good, kind of the sandwich method. And it's been really fun. So I did an area competition, and then, I did our club, and then I did our area, and in a couple weeks I'll go on to our division competition, which is really exciting for me, because it's, when I was in high school, I had friends who were on the speech team, and they were all fantastic, and I wanted nothing to do with it. And so the fact that I have now competed in these couple of different speech contests is, it just blows my mind. So, all of that to say, one of the things they do kind of as they're tallying votes is they do like a little interview. Okay, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? What club are you representing? Et cetera, et cetera. And then one of the questions that they've asked both times is, what is your favorite quote? And this question came at a really good time because I had just come across a quote a few days before that I just jumped on and just loved. And it's from John Steinbeck's book, East of Eden. And I'll be honest, I've never read the book. I've just heard the quote. And the quote is, "And now that you don't have to be perfect, you can be good. And now that you don't have to be perfect, you can be good." It fits great for Toastmasters because we're all trying not to be perfect in the box of what they expect from speakers and leaders, but to live into how we can best be speakers and leaders. But even more so, I think it sounds shockingly similar to what Timothy is being told by Paul in this letter, in this verse specifically. Timothy, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. Jesus did that part for you. He died for you. He offered you grace upon grace. And so in that knowledge, in that confidence, you can be good. You can be great. You can serve in amazing ways. And the other text that has really, really stuck with me as I've been studying and reading in preparation for the series is this verse from Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. The first part of that verse is a clear call to action for all believers. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. We are to be people who extend God's grace to others. We are to be people who invite others to experience God's grace, who get to know God. We are to be people who are strengthened by God's grace to make sure that no one falls short of that grace. What's sad is that I say we, the church, and I think I include certainly myself in this, will often err on the side of focusing too much on the second half of that verse. The see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I'll cut out the grace part of things, extending grace to others, and jump ahead to be overly cautious, to be fear-based and make sure that no one is going to cause trouble. Maybe we may even make sure at times that no non-bitter roots grow up, just in case. Much like we can't escape God's grace in the Bible, and we can't escape God's grace in the world, we can't escape the fact that we have a role to play in extending God's grace to others. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. We have to take ownership and take responsibility of doing that in real ways. So with all of that, I'll be honest. I'm both really excited and I'm a bit apprehensive about diving in so deeply and intently to grace. And I have no doubt that it will have significant ramifications for me in the way I interact with people and in the way that I interact with Jesus. My hope and my prayer is that you're both excited and also maybe a little bit apprehensive, knowing that this grace is the kind of grace that changes everything. And so I pray that we experience grace in these weeks and always. And I long for the people of Emmanuel, for this church family, for the people that we know today, for the people that we will know tomorrow, and the people that we will know in days to come, that all will know the overwhelming grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That we would be able to feel the reality of the David Crowder lyrics that say, "If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking." That's the kind of grace that I want us to experience and to know and to feel and to share. The powerful, overwhelming, all-encompassing, inescapable grace of Jesus. That's the grace that I'm excited for us to explore. Lord, we are so grateful for your love. We know you love us, God. Help us to live in that love. Help us to get to know your grace, to be strengthened by that grace, and to answer your call to share that grace with all, with everyone. And we pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate gift of grace. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.